a dozen. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. And this week we're going to tune in to the current Republican candidate's president and what their opinion on the internet, internet security, internet privacy, and broadband service. We'll also tune in the brand new record from composer Goncalo Cardoza called A Study into 21st Century Drone Acoustics, out on Discrepant Records. And then we'll head to Washington, D.C., where we'll hear how internet political issues played out in congressional hearings last week. National Security Chief James Clapper clamoring for less encryption, and some congressmen asking about more broadband. First, a story about how Google wants to increase broadband service.
Ars Technica reports that a January 26th Federal Communications Commission letter gets Google's dream of a fleet of balloons as cell towers closer to reality. The FCC recently wrote that, quote, Google's proposed testing does not pose health or environmental risks, unquote, and, quote, Google will avoid harmful interference to other users of the E-band, unquote. The plan, which has been referred to as Project Loon, is a, quote, nationwide testing of airborne and terrestrial transmitters in the 71 through 76 and 81 through 86 gigahertz bands, collectively known as the E-band, unquote. On the ground, Google customers would point their antenna toward the sky at balloons across the country to get LTE service if the tests are successful. Google is trying to keep things secret with a, quote, two-year nationwide test, unquote. Ars Technica explains that these frequencies now are, quote, often deployed as wireless backhaul option for network providers, unquote. Current E-band applications often use highly directional antenna for multiple gigabyte speeds over a mile or two. And Google says since the antenna would be pointed in different directions, horizontal for current uses and vertical for the balloons, there would be little interference. Google says there is, quote, no factual basis, unquote, that the RF energy from the balloons would or could harm people or animals. Google needs the FCC and the Federal Aviation Authority to complete signing off on their two-year test. For now, the company has permission to test the balloons in California and Nevada.
Next on This Week in Radio News, we tune into several of the Republican candidates running for president. The activist group Free Press caught up with several candidates in New Hampshire before the primary there and asked them about what they would do to help consumers get broadband service in rural communities and about internet privacy, surveillance, and access. First, we hear from Ted Cruz, who is against any government involvement in increasing broadband. Then John Kasich says the technology will take care of the problem. Jeb Bush wants nothing to do with the question and pivots to education. Ben Carson doesn't spend a word answering the question. Donald Trump proposes a technically impossible shutdown of the internet. And Marco Rubio does not think government surveillance is a problem. But listen for yourselves and decide.
Government takeover regulations, the people that are benefiting are the giant corporations. It's
the big companies with the lobbyists that get favored from government. So thank you very much.
An issue that's really important to us. Where I live in really small rural towns, very similar to many parts of New Hampshire. And one big issue we have is that we don't have access to the internet at home, which means that my neighbor's kids can't do their homework, and people I know can't apply for jobs because you gotta have the internet for that. So I'd really like to know what your plan is to get more people in our country connected to fast internet at rates we can afford. Mm-hmm. Just this morning, Chris Christie said that his plan for the internet would be to get people connected at the library, but in my town, the library is only open 3 days a week for a couple hours. So,
I think it is the development of technology that can bring internet access to places like your community. There are technologies being developed right now that can really basically solve the last mile problem through an ability through wireless. And these technologies are being developed, and I think that's ultimately the answer, because we want to take internet service and fast speed internet service, particularly to rural areas. And the reason why it matters is because you have this really tough poverty problem in the small rural areas. So it involves really the development of technology that can, through a wireless connection, be able to give you. And these technologies are being developed. And, you know, if at some point, and I know they're being developed, but it's still rickety and rockety, but it's on its way. And I think before we have the self-driving car, I think we're going to see better and better access to the internet in a high-speed way. Okay.
Can you comment a little bit about what you can do to help bring the cost of broadband at home down for those of us who do have connections?
Well, we know it's coming down. I mean,
mine goes up every year.
Well, no, but what else are you doing on that? Huh? I mean, you know, you pay for all those different services.
So what I'm wondering is what you would do as president to make sure that all Americans have access to high-speed internet at an affordable cost in both rural and urban areas.
Well, I mean, the programs are available that can be reformed. There are proposals underway that when I was in the private sector and not unemployed running for president, that I was working on with technology companies in California to expand dramatically broadband into schools. That's the one place to do this where. Some states have done extraordinary efforts. Others have lagged behind. I don't know how New Hampshire's doing, but it's uneven, to say the least. But a national effort like this could be done not with a massive cost. This is not the hardest thing in the world to do. But there has to be a strategy, and you have to create a strategy, create benchmarks, and go at it. And the effort that I saw that would be the most cost effective was one that was based in San Francisco, where they had identified the shortfall. So sometimes you talk about broadband into the cloud, into the school, but they've identified that it has to get into the classroom as well. And that extra, you know, that extra 100 yards can be more expensive. But now technologies, you know, you can do this wirelessly. You don't have to do it wiring the classrooms again, and you can save a lot of money. And it's important. What bothers me a little bit about the regulation of the internet is the Obama administration's rule, the FCC rule, about using a 1935 law. Then we had a monopoly, we had Ma Bell. They're using that same law to regulate access to the internet. And I think that will stymie the investment in expanding broadband. I think it's this control orientation of Washington is very dangerous. The problem didn't exist. They're regulating something that's not a problem. And now they're going to stymie literally tens of billions of dollars won't be taking place into expanding broadband that would make it easier to achieve the objective you're talking about.
Where do you fall down on the balance between sort of liberty and security as it pertains to data?
Yeah, I might not be too upset about delaying the change. While at the same time we talk, we need to sit down, we need to make sure that we have in place something that allows us the access that we need to potential terrorists, but doesn't compromise the Fourth Amendment rights of our citizenry. And we're smart people. And if we know what the goals are, then I think, you know, that regardless of which side you're coming at it from, if you're willing to sit down and objectively look at evidence, I think we can come up with an appropriate thing. One of the problems that we have in America today is that we don't have a tendency to sit down and discuss things. We get in our respective corners and we hurl insults at each other, and we want my way or the highway. We want to pound, you know, our impression into somebody else. That's not what America is about. And we have to reject that. That's one of the reasons that we're having these problems on our campuses right now. These children have grown up seeing this kind of activity, and now, you know, they believe in this collectivism. And, you know, this is just the way it is. And if you don't agree with me, we get to shut you down, we get to hit you. And how far does it go? What will they eventually want to do to you? You know, we've seen this movie before in the world. We don't want that in America.
Are you open to closing parts of the internet?
I would certainly be open to closing areas where we are at war with somebody. I sure as hell don't want to let people that want to kill us and kill our nation use our internet. Yes, sir, I am.
I was just wondering, what are you planning on doing to protect Americans' privacy online? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, part of it is ensuring the government has the capability to protect us from these, for example, foreign actors that are now targeting our systems. We have to have a deterrent. We have to know there's a price to pay for doing it.
Yeah, I'm talking part about privacy from the government.
Oh, well, I don't think there's a widespread problem. If somebody gets caught in the government going into people's private information, they should go to jail. But I think a lot of these problems have been heavily exaggerated.
Next up, we tune in Goncalo Cardoza's A Study into 21st Century Drone Acoustics, vinyl LP released on Discrepant Records in early February. Side A features field recordings of 17 different drone types, ranging from small consumer drones to large military radio-controlled drones. B-side is a soundscape from Goncalo Cardoza, inspired by the technology. Go to droneacoustics.org for more information. We'll listen to the Air Robot AR-100 and Predator MQ-1. On February 9th, James Clapper, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, testified before a Senate hearing on threat assessments about the threats to United States security from the Internet.
I want to briefly comment on both technology and cyber. Technological innovation during the next few years will have an even more significant impact on our way of life. This innovation is central to our economic prosperity, but it will bring new security vulnerabilities. The Internet of Things will connect tens of billions of new physical devices that could be exploited. Artificial intelligence will enable computers to make autonomous decisions about data and physical systems and potentially disrupt labor markets. Russia and China continue to have the most sophisticated cyber programs. China continues cyber espionage against the United States. Whether China's commitment of last September moderates its economic espionage remains to be seen. Iran and North Korea continue to conduct cyber espionage as they enhance their attack capabilities. Non-state actors also pose cyber threats. ISIL has used cyber to its great advantage, not only for recruitment and propaganda, but also to hack and release sensitive information about U.S. military personnel. As a non-state actor, ISIL displays unprecedented online proficiency. Cyber criminals remain the most pervasive cyber threat to the U.S. financial sector. They use cyber to conduct theft, extortion, and other criminal activities.
On February 11th, the U.S. House Subcommittee on Communications and Technology passed three bills all about radio waves. The Amateur Radio Parity Act, a bill that's not named what it's about at all, about letting amateur radio operators hang antennas in neighborhoods with prohibitions against such structures. H.R. 1301 was approved by a voice vote. Also, the Small Business Broadband Deployment Act, which would make permanent a currently temporary exemption from the enhanced disclosure rules for small businesses required by the Commission's Open Internet Order. That was also approved by a voice vote. And then the third bill, H.R. 2666, the No-Rate Regulation of Broadband Internet Access Act, which would destroy the Net Neutrality Act that the Federal Communications Commission passed last year. That bill was voted on largely on party lines 17 to 10. The day before, on February 10th, the U.S. House Subcommittee on Communications and Technology had an opening statements public hearing, and let's listen to it all. The Democrats didn't show up because they were boycotting the bill that would wreck net neutrality, so Republican Chair Greg Walden was a bit flustered. But listening to the entire hearing can give you a reflection on what those politicians were talking about at the beginning of the show and what happens in real life. Here's the U.S. House Subcommittee on Communications and Technology and Chair Representative Greg Walden, Republican from Oregon.
Subcommittee is going to come to order. We're going to go ahead and start this process with opening statements. and hopefully our members will join us. But we are 15 minutes after the scheduled start time. And I'm going to start with my own opening comments here. Today we're considering three bills intended to benefit consumers, improve access to communications, and protect small businesses from burdensome regulations. Last month, we held a legislative hearing on these bills where we heard from the witnesses who provided us with valuable feedback and suggestions for improving our legislation. In the time since that hearing, we've continued to work with our colleagues to focus on changes to the bills that achieve our goals and hopefully garner bipartisan support. The first bill we'll take up today is H.R. 1301, the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2015. Now, this bill puts into place common sense reforms that ensure that ham radio operators have the opportunity to place unobtrusive equipment on their home property. As a ham radio operator myself, I know firsthand both the passion that operators have for this service, as well as how valuable they are, especially in times of emergency. While we're seeking to protect ham operators' ability to put up antennas, we also recognize that there's a role for community associations in preserving the interests of their residents. To that end, we've been working closely with stakeholders and our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to come to an agreement on language that achieves both of these goals. While the bill we will vote on today is the original language, we're still negotiating, and we intend to find a compromise before we move the bill to full committee markup. Next, we'll consider H.R. 2666. Now, this legislation prohibits the FCC from regulating the rates of broadband internet access service. At our hearing last month, there was broad agreement on both sides of the aisle that we could, in fact, come to consensus on a bill that would prohibit the FCC from engaging in harmful rate regulation. We're seeking to memorialize in law the intent expressed by Chairman Wheeler and President Obama when the open internet rules were adopted to allow for bright line protections without regulating the rates charged by broadband providers. We've taken to heart the concerns expressed by witnesses and members alike at our hearing and are working to incorporate those into legislative language. I'm confident we can find middle ground that protects consumers while ensuring that no future FCC abuses the new authority granted in the net neutrality proceedings. Finally, we will consider a bill designed to alleviate reporting burdens for small businesses. The bill would make permanent the exemption to the FCC's enhanced disclosure requirements in the open internet order. As with the other bills, while there are disagreements on the details, there's an appropriate balance that can be struck, and we're very close to reaching that balance with our Democratic colleagues. We're working together to iron out the small differences that remain in good faith, but both sides are working to protect our small businesses and entrepreneurial ISPs from the heavy hand of the FCC's enhanced transparency requirement. When we meet again for full committee markup, I'm confident we'll move forward with a bill upon which we can all agree. I'm optimistic we can put the finishing touches on these bills in the weeks ahead and once again produce important bipartisan legislation that protects consumers, small businesses, and access to the latest communication services. We've not yet been joined by a member of the minority party, so I'll turn now to Mr. Latta, or to Ms. Blackburn, the vice chair of the full committee, for 3 minutes for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to say thank you for this markup. The Small Business Broadband Deployment Act is so important to protect these small ISPs who don't have the resources to comply with the net neutrality enhanced disclosure agreements and requirements. The FCC's exemption currently applies to ISPs with 100,000 or fewer subscribers and has been extended several times for 1 year periods. So this is the right step, and we thank you for that. H.R. 2666 codifies the pledges that Chairman Wheeler and President Obama have made to not engage in rate regulation of broadband internet service. Chairman Wheeler said at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona last March, and I'm quoting him, "This is not regulating the internet. Regulating the internet is rate regulation, which we don't do," end quote. And it is appropriate that we hold him to that pledge. So thank you, and I yield back my time.
Gentlelady yields back her time. I don't see anybody on the other side of the aisle, so we'll now go to the vice chair of the subcommittee, Mr. Latta, for opening comments.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much for holding today's hearing. I am pleased that we're considering several legislative measures that will limit unnecessary government regulations and protect the public. I would like to focus on the two bills that stem from the FCC's decision to reclassify broadband as a telecommunications service under Title II of the Communications Act. It is my hope that our subcommittee can work to move these through the legislative process. First, as a result of Title II, the FCC extended its authority to regulate rates charged for broadband. The threat of a rate regulation would chill network investments and stifle innovation. H.R. 2666, of which I am a co-sponsor, would prohibit the Commission from regulating rates and remove regulatory uncertainty for Internet service providers. Second, the Small Business Broadband Deployment Act would help eliminate a burdensome regulation created by Title II by making permanent the temporary exemption for small ISPs from enhanced transparency requirements. I have been told by providers in my district that this exemption is essential to their continued operation. I look forward to the discussion on these bills and look forward to working on this legislation. With that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Let's see here. I don't see any other members seeking to make opening statements. So the chair calls up H.R. 1301 and asks the clerk to report.
H.R. 1301, to direct the Federal Communications Commission to extend to private land use restrictions its rule relating to reasonable accommodation of amateur service communications.
Without objection, the first reading of the bill is dispensed with. The bill will be open for amendment at any point, so ordered. We are now on H.R. 1301. The subcommittee will reconvene at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and I remind members the chair will give priority recognition to bipartisan amendments, and I look forward to seeing all of you and perhaps a few more members tomorrow, including members on the other side. Without objection, the subcommittee stands in recess.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.